Can you welcome somebody to the April edition of the Apostolic Contact 2023? You're welcome to the house of God. Can we salute the choir for engage in a moment of prayer in an effort to monopolize God so that his activities will be around your life during the course of this conference. Can you make demands on the mercy of God? Make demands on the anointing of the Spirit that the activity of God will be around you during the course of these moments that we share in his presence. Someone reach out to him. Forget about the preacher and look upon the Lord and make a demand. Register your petition before him tonight. We give you praise and we ask, oh God, that you rend the heavens and come down. That every mountain that finds expression around the lives of your people, you will undo it in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. In the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you for the gift of life and for your grace that we all enjoy. Once again, we come boldly into your presence that we might find guidance through the light that comes from your word. Shed that light with great intensity in order for those that sit in darkness to find effective navigation into destiny. In the name of Jesus. Be glorified again and again and again. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. God bless you. All right. So our guest minister is still in transit. So if you were here with us when we began the lecture on foundations, that's where I'm going to continue from. When he comes, he can bear the testimony of God that is upon his heart. Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 16. That was the foundation scripture for all the effort that we made in the Bible study that we have been considering. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Then there is a quiet statement there. He that believeth shall not make haste. Now you will notice from the quiet statement, he that believeth shall not make haste. That quiet statement is an exposition of the fact that the illustrations that were made with the stones, the tried stone, the precious stone, those illustrations were actually insights into the protocol of our believing in God. Now, in the Bible study, I said that in the book of Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was He had in mind a project. A project was the project of a spiritual building that he wanted to put up. But in order for him to discuss what he had in mind, being that Jesus is an object teacher, he had to take his disciples to Caesarea Philippi before he began to speak. And it was called Caesarea Philippi because the governor or the tetrarch of Caesarea at that time was Philip, the engineer. And when Caesar made Philip the tetrarch of Caesarea, what he did was that he began to do elaborate construction. Construction in orchestrating a facelift in the city. So you will see that houses that were defaced, houses that would deface the beauty of the city, he knocked them down and he put up other structures. So there was building going on in Caesarea at the time that Jesus brought his disciples to that location. It was in that location that he began to administer the questionnaire, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And at the end of the day, Peter spoke up and Peter gave us this insight. He said, "Thou art the Christ, thou art the Son of the living God." The moment the revelation of who he was disclosed, he could now bear out the revelation concerning the church that he had in heart. It says that I'm also into construction business just like Philip the Tetrarch. Philip the Tetrarch is building Caesarea, but I'm building a structure called the church. And in this structure that is called the church, meanwhile, there is a confusion about that scripture because many believe that Jesus was saying that he was going to build the church on Peter. But if you read the scripture from the original Greek, you will find that the word Peter is Petros. And when Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church," that rock there, the word rock there is Petra. So he wasn't talking about Peter, he was talking about a foundation. That the revelation of Jesus Christ is going to be the foundation upon which the church will be built. That at any point in time that we veer off from that foundation, the evidence to show that we have veered off from that foundation is that the gates of hell will begin to prevail against us. Another interesting thing about what Jesus said is that it is Jesus himself that builds his church. And how does he achieve that? He builds his church through men. You will realize that in that scenario, are you still with me? In that scenario, he renamed Peter. Peter's original name was Simon. I found out that discipleship is a very serious matter. Someone will disciple someone else and go to the extent of changing his name. And I can show you a few times where it happened in the New Testament. The guy we call Barnabas today, that was not the name his parents gave him. He was called Joseph. He came and gave a sacrificial offering. And when he gave that offering, the apostles called him the Son of Consolation. It was based on that act of faith that his name changed. So Jesus changed the name of Simon and called him Petros. And the reason why he called him Petros was because Jesus was trying to make him understand that in this spiritual building that he was putting up, Peter was going to be one of the stones. Subsequently, in scripture, we find that Peter told us in the book of 2 Peter chapter 2. Let me read that scripture to us quickly. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning from verse 5. It says, "Ye also," this is Peter, the same Peter is speaking to us, "ye are as lively stones are built up into a spiritual house. The spiritual house is that vision that Jesus had, the construction Jesus wanted to put up, for which he identified Peter as one of the stones that will be part of that spiritual house. Peter now, understanding in a more in-depth fashion, eventually now gave us this piece in the book of 1 Peter chapter 2, beginning from verse 5. He says, we are lively stones. So Peter discovered that he was not the only stone on the structure. That we all are stones that are going to be fitted into God's spiritual building. You get that? Oh, you are not with me. All of us are going to be fitted into God's spiritual building, because the idea is that that building will become a holy priesthood. That building will become a house that the Holy Spirit will possess in order for him to accomplish his task and his programs upon the face of the earth. If God, who is Spirit, will feature upon the face of the earth, he must have a temple to possess. And that was why Apostle Paul says that we are God's temple. We are entities, infrastructures that can trap down the dimensions of God, so that through us, God can still fulfill his intent. God can still fulfill his plan upon the face of the earth. You see, as wonderful as this piece is, I would like to still draw your attention to our introductory scripture, which is in the book of Isaiah chapter 28, to show you a very critical matter that is worthy of discussion. In Isaiah 28, verse number 16, this is what the Bible says. It says, I lay in Zion a foundation stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. Are you there? Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. So, and the rock that he was talking about is the revelation of Jesus. So you will know theologically that the stone spoken about here is Jesus, the foundation stone upon this rock. You get that? In order for Jesus to qualify to be that foundation stone, the Father had to subject Jesus to test. He had to be tried. It is after the trial that Jesus became a precious stone, because he survived the test. It is after that Jesus survived the test and became a precious stone that he now serves as a sure foundation. You get that? Oh, you're not following me. It's the same stone. It's the same stone. The stone was hewn out of the quarry site with an intention that it would be a foundation stone. But before it could play the role as a foundation stone, it had to be tried. Now, for those of you that are resident in Benue State, you will know that we have such powerful clay soil in Benue State, and that's why we make burnt bricks in Benue State. And when you get these burnt bricks and you put it in the mold, and you get it out of the mold, you will need to subject it to a fire test. Now, the other day I wanted to build a drainage. I wanted to build a drainage, so we placed an order for a truckload of burnt bricks. And when they brought the truckload of bricks, at the end of the day, I saw two heaps. And the engineer told me that all the bricks in this heap on the left side have been rejected. That they did not survive the fire test. When fire came on them, instead of it making them hard and hardened, so that they can have the capacity to suck in water, just in case they are used as material to build the drainage, these ones did not come out very well from the furnace. Are you there? So they were rejected. So we sent them back. They had to replace them. And we ran a test on the blocks to see if they qualify. If you want to do building, you must understand that, I need to remind you. You see, when we were building this place, the engineers came up with a concept. And they said that that concept was one of the things that learned in civil engineering school. The test of material. If there's anyone here that is a civil engineer, you understand what I'm talking about. In fact, all these pillars you are seeing standing here, we ran a test. We got the guys from the lab, civil engineering lab in University of Agriculture. We got them into this place. We tested every pillar that is here. We tested this slab. They took the readings. They had one equipment. They will hit it on the pillar. It will come up with some readings. They took the readings and analyzed them and gave us a classical engineering report of the strength of these pillars and the strength of the platform that is resting on the pillars. And it exceeded the readings. That means we spent too much money on it. Too much money in a scientific way. Are you there? There is no form of building you want to do that you will not do test of material. And even though Jesus was chosen to be the foundation, and he said it himself. Are you there? Because that's why when you give your life to Christ, it is you, the Lord Jesus, in the person of the Holy Spirit, moves into your heart and begins to operate from that point. He is the foundation of the organic reality of your salvation. It is on the strength of the spiritual capital of God in the person of the Holy Spirit that is in your heart that you can prosecute your Christian life. So that's the foundation. And in order for God to be sure that that foundation was adequate to bear the load of your life, even Jesus himself was subjected to a test. The Bible called him a tried stone. How many of you, are you with me here? How many of you here would have survived what Jesus survived when he went to that cross? And you will not curse somebody. May the Lord give you understanding. Are you there? Now, when we now go to the book of Hebrews and we read about the sacrifice of Jesus, the Bible says that he offered himself without spot unto God by the Holy Ghost. Now, I know you didn't get that. Jesus did not offer himself by himself. Jesus offered himself by the Holy Ghost. It means even as he was suffering, the only things he said, the only things he did were the things that the Holy Spirit allowed him to do. That is the reason why his offering was spotless. See, there were trials that were attached to the entire process. And those trials that were attached to the entire process eventually verified that Jesus came out with the acceptance of the measuring scales of eternity, and that was how he became a precious stone. It is when he gained the reputation of a precious stone that he was now used as the sure foundation. Do you understand that? Now, in the same vein, if God had to put Jesus through that process in order for him to be the sure foundation of your life, And Peter says that we are lively stones that are built on that foundation. Are you there? Oh, you are not getting me? You are going to be tested before you qualify to be in that foundation. And I give you a scripture to prove that God wants us to have the same quality as the foundation. And the scripture that I gave us was in the book of Malachi chapter 3. Let us take it briefly, then we'll do a recap Malachi chapter 3. In Malachi chapter 3, beginning from verse number 16, we have a very powerful scripture. Then they that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it. And a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and thought upon his name. They shall be mine, verse 17, saith the Lord of hosts, in the day when I make up my jewels. So there is a day that God makes up his jewels. And when we talk about precious stones are not available in nature. Precious stones are a product of subjecting metals. Metals are available in nature, right? Like iron ore is available in nature. Copper is available in nature. Are you there? Silver is available in nature. When you subject these metals to high temperature and pressure, it changes its morphology and it becomes precious stone. Are you there? You know granite. You know granite? What is used to make your pencils? It doesn't exist in nature. But you see, when metals are subjected, you know molten magma. When there's a volcanic eruption and part of the earth crust bursts out, what you have is granite. It doesn't exist in nature. It's high temperature and pressure that created that possibility. All right? So when you see diamond, it's a product of high temperature and pressure, and it has changed the morphology of that metal, and it has become a different substance altogether. And the reaction is irreversible. So God is saying that I'm going to push you, I'm going to try you. I will try you in the furnace. I will try you in the fire. Because the best of what you are will never manifest until you are subjected to high temperature and pressure. You will come out as a precious stone. That's what the prophet was saying in the book of Malachi. That there is a day when God wants to, how does he put it? When he makes up his jewels. He makes up his precious stones. That means God, as much as he loves you, will allow you to pass through some process. And for positive reasons, the reason why he will allow you to pass through this process is because he wants you to come out as a precious stone. It is when you are a precious stone that you can become a building material in his house. Do you get the logic? Now, so if you are not a precious stone, you are not good for building. Now, if you see someone that is a minister of the gospel that has not become a precious stone, he cannot build that house. That preaching will not produce any transformation because he himself has not been processed. The ways of God, the knowledge of God, you are going to learn it through process. If you don't have process, you are not yet equipped for sensitive kind of labor in the house of God. Hallelujah. Now, if you hear that someone that is going to operate you in the theater, you have something wrong with your appendix and you are going to be operated upon, and you hear nurses whispering that the guy that has been scheduled to operate you actually studied carpentry. See? He has not been processed. He has a skill. Definitely. He has acquired a skill, but the skill he has acquired is not applicable to the task on hand. So we are not saying whether did you go to school? Did you sit for exam? That's not what we are talking about here. Do you have you been processed to be able to handle the anatomy and the physiology of a human? Are you there? So if you have not passed through the process, you have not received the discipline to make you such a functionary that can serve in that capacity. Even if you put yourself there, it will be evident that you are incompetent. You are incapable. Over time, it will be evident that, no, this man has not been processed for this assignment. He's a carpenter. And what we need is a surgeon. So Jesus himself, in order for him to be the strong foundation of our lives, the Bible speaking said he had to be tried. He had to be tested. I'm wondering about the things that took place on the cross, because when Jesus was hanging on the cross, part of what was required to secure our redemption was that the Father will have to turn his back upon Jesus. The moment Jesus became the sin sacrifice, the moment Jesus became sin on that cross, the Father had to turn his face from Jesus. That means that the presence of God left Jesus. Can you imagine that situation? I don't think you can. I don't have the words today to explain it. What happens? But some of you have experienced it before. Maybe you did something wrong, and the presence of God that you know, you can't feel that presence again. It's a frustrating place to be. Jesus was there. In fact, it's a hopeless place to be. Because without that presence, anxiety is going to set in, and all kinds of symptoms will find expression. And Jesus was in that situation. He died in that situation. Now, should I ask you a question? That debt, was it a debt of hope? Because if he died in the situation of losing the presence of God, was there hope in that debt? Okay, let's leave it till we have the time to pick a few scriptures from the book of Psalms and the prophets to give you a very clinical idea of the situation Jesus went through in order for him to secure our salvation. That was an exam that Jesus wrote, and he was not the one that was going to mark the script. The scales of justice, the scales of judgment, the scales of equity in the heavens above would determine if his sacrifice was worth the while. If it had the capacity to undo the spell that had come on humankind. It's a deep matter. That was the extent to which Jesus was tested and tried. And there was no manifestation in him that was falling, making him the sure foundation for the lives of men for eternity. If Jesus enters that place, he can carry the weight of your life, because he was tested. He became precious after he was tried. And now he qualifies to be the foundation of your life. Oh, you are not following me. Come with me quickly. I think I need a New Testament equivalent of Isaiah chapter 28 before you will believe that it is still New Testament thinking. Now, you see, just follow me. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll read from verse 10. 1 Corinthians 3, beginning from verse number 10. This is Apostle Paul. Please stay with me, okay? He said, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. Now, this grace, are you there? This grace Apostle Paul is talking about is not every believer that has this grace. This is a surgical kind of grace. This is an exceptional kind of grace in the body of Christ. Just like if you are here tonight, and how many of you know a little about fashion? You can, if we give you materials or a cloth, you can make a shirt out of it. How many of you here? Okay, just a few. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Now, those of you that don't have that training, if I give you a piece of cloth and I say, make a trouser out of it. Now, we are going to have a problem, because even the ability to understand the science behind how it is cut, you don't have it. That's the kind of thing that Paul is saying here. He said, I have been given the grace of a wise master builder. And I think I need to explain what that means. Because this building he's talking about here is not civil engineering. This building is the labor that builds the body of Christ. Are you there? The objective of apostolic teaching. You see, not every teaching is New Testament teaching. Not every teaching is apostolic teaching. In recent times, in the mainstream ministry, what we receive as Bible teaching is the same kind of teaching that a Buddhist priest will preach to his congregation. Okay, let me come closer. Do you pray as a Christian? Do you pray? Do you realize that Muslims pray? What's the difference between your own prayer and the prayer of Muslims? You've not thought about it. You fast. And Muslims also fast. What's the difference between your fasting and the fasting of Muslims? What makes it different? Oh, you can't answer me. Good. So, because, you see, are you there? Are you there? I will tell you the difference. So that you will know that the fact that I hold the mic to talk doesn't mean I'm preaching apostolic preaching. There is something that you will find in the book of Acts of the Apostles. It's called the Apostles' Doctrine. It's not just talking. In fact, the apostles monopolize that teaching. It is only among the apostles you will find it. No other quarter of philosophy will you find that kind of teaching. So the teaching was qualified to be called what? The apostles' teaching. What exactly is this apostles' teaching? Because they got that teaching from Jesus. And the first time Jesus was at liberty to talk about doctrine was in the book of John chapter 7. Are you there? Oh, you're not there. Is this sister in red that I looked to check if the class is following? And she was confused. So, it means the whole class is confused. That's what it means. It's not just using the microphone. Okay, most of us don't read wide. And then if you read the Buddhist books, you will see them say the kind of things we say. Believe, have faith. Give alms, do good. So what makes that different from Christianity? Most of what we preach doesn't have the mark, the exclusive mark of the apostolic. I don't want to press. Let me leave you. The others, this place I want to go now is for pastors. What makes your talk different? What makes your prayer different? What makes your fasting different? What makes your devotion different? There is one thing that makes it different. Is that prayer? The reason why the prayer will have the potency of affecting heaven is because the energy with which you pray the prayer is called the Spirit of God. There is no other way you pray that you will get the same results if the energy that drives the prayer is the energy of the Holy Ghost. How many of you still remember when Jesus came out of Jordan, the Jordan River, during his baptism in the hands of John? A few scriptures later say he was driven into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So Jesus' life had a driving force, and the driving force of the life of Jesus was the Holy Ghost. That's what made the living of Jesus different from the living
of every mortal man. It's not the same thing. One had a driving force. Are you there? That driving force was what made his prayer different from religious prayer. So this evening, I know, I passed through the parking lot. I saw all the vehicles you parked outside there. And in New Testament Christianity, we don't care what you drive. But we care about what drives you. Jesus was driven by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. Can you see? His life had a driving force. His prayer had a driving force. His fasting had a driving force. The effect of that level of engagement cannot be natural. And there is nowhere else that you can approximate the same kind of capacity if you do not have that driving force. So, one of the reasons why Paul called himself a wise master builder was that he had received grace from God to show us the spiritual capital upon which our lives are founded, thereby opening the eyes of the believer to the stream of possibilities that are bound toward him because he is factored in Christ. Your identity in the Spirit, your capacity in the Spirit, the possibilities that are attached to your life are simply because you are part of Christ. If we have a way of isolating you from Christ, you will realize that your life will not have the capacity to strike any chord spiritually. Is that clear? Now, so Paul calls himself a wise master builder because he has very subtle ways of revealing to you the doctrine. I think I need to take you to John chapter 7 to show you the doctrine before I come here. And if I succeed, then I can explain Isaiah chapter 28 verse 16 adequately. And then me and you will be on the same page on this spiritual journey. Are you there? All right. Or maybe we'll do it this way. Let us separate the doctrine and make it a 3-day teaching for another time. 3 days. Because when you come to the book of Acts chapter 2, it's called the Apostles' Doctrine. Are you there? So what is plural there is apostles. Doctrine is singular. When we go to the book of Hebrews chapter 6, the Bible speaks about the principles of the doctrine of Christ. You will notice that principles is in plural, but doctrine is what? Singular. So this doctrine I'm talking about is one. It is singular. It is in the heart of the truth concerning the Christian life. And if you don't know this doctrine, you don't know how the Christian's prayer is different from the Muslim's prayer. Everything about the Christian is founded on this doctrine. And as we go there, you will find out. But this is the master builder. And what he does is that he opens your eyes to see the spiritual capital that forms the foundation of your Christian walk. As long as you do not see that foundation, you will still be operating in the flesh. And then you come to a realization of how insufficient the flesh is in attempting to furnish the demands of God. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. Because we are not exposed to the doctrine. So, as a wise master builder, there are a couple of things that Apostle Paul is engaged in doing. So he will tell us the things he does as a wise master builder. He said, I have laid the foundation. And another buildeth thereon. So my efforts are geared at laying this foundation in your life. So in this disclosure, we see the object of apostolic labels. When we say someone has received an apostolic calling, there is a goal, there is an object. There is something that calling is empowering this man to be able to achieve. And Apostle Paul reveals the golden effort of apostolic ministry in this scripture. He says he lays the foundation. He will go on to reveal to us what that foundation is and the implication of having that foundation. And it will surprise you to know that any man that is here tonight or listening to me under the sound of my voice anywhere in the world that doesn't have that foundation is none of Christ. It's not of Christ. It's not of God. Stay with me. So he said, I have laid the foundation and another build it thereon. That is to show us that there are different layers of labors in the house of God, in the kingdom of God. But his own assignment is foundational. He will now go on to reveal to us that the labors of apostles and the labors of prophets are supposed to be foundational. And I'll tell you the burden of being a foundational minister. Our estimation of who a prophet is these days has so declined. So declined. All right? According to scripture, he's supposed to be a foundational minister. And I will tell you the burden that accompanies foundational ministry. Foundational ministry. Okay. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. So those guys that are building the superstructure on the foundation, he's giving them a warning. Say, take heed how you build. Why do you take heed how you build? Then he goes to the next verse to give us insight. He said, for no foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is what? So Christ, can you see his efforts, his intentional activities is to lay the foundation of Christ in every believer. You know, Jesus said, upon this rock, upon this foundation, the church is going to be built. And so he is saying that my duty is to lay that foundation. Not just to bring you to Christ, which is one of the aspects of laying the foundation. It's also to give you insights through teaching and preaching that will open your eyes to the potential that is available to you now that Christ and his administration and the infrastructure of the Spirit is built in your heart. Because that foundation is the elementary investment that God makes in your heart for which he expects you to live the Christian life. So if your eyes are not open to see the resources of this foundation, you are not likely to live in victory. It means that you never came across someone that is capable of apostolic labels. You met entertainers. You met abracadabra people. Hallelujah. You see, the labor of the gospel is a very definite labor. And the expectation after such labors are also very definite. What you become after you become a recipient of the good word of God is so definite, is not hazy at all. It is spelled out quite clearly in the scriptures. And Paul says, I labor to lay the foundation, to bring you into Christ and to ground you in Christ so that you function by Christ, your foundation. And as you grow in Christ, you also grow in the knowledge of Christ. And then you function the same way Jesus
function while he walked this world. What I just explained to you is what we call the doctrine of the grace of God, where we can take advantage of the resources that are available to Christ, and you walk effectively with those resources, and your life is an evidence that everything that Jesus said was true. Our generation needs evidence. Everything is under dispute. Everything is under debate these days. And there is only one thing you cannot question. That which is already part and parcel of the life of an individual cannot be questioned. Your life cannot be questioned. See, he functions this way, that cannot be questioned. We see it in his everyday life. So if other people don't function that way, he can tell us the reason why he can sustain that kind of an impossible lifestyle. Then he tells you about his foundation. There is a spiritual investment from whence he draws his capacity. And if you do not have that investment, you do not have the capacity to live the way he is doing. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So the Bible reveals that we are stones, lively stones that are built upon that foundation, because what God has in mind is to build a spiritual building that he calls a holy priesthood. And the assignment of this holy priesthood is that we'll offer up spiritual sacrifices unto God through Christ Jesus. Meanwhile, I don't want to bother you with all those complexities, but I can say this at least. Are you still with me? You are not with me. Now, some of these things we preach, you will need to get the messages and listen again, because I assure you are not hearing what I'm talking about. You need to listen again and again and again for a very long time, then it begins to make more meaning to you and more meaning to you and more meaning to you. If God has called you into the capacity of wise master building, there is an excess of revelational grace that he makes available. Not because you are a spiritual man, but because of your calling. And I happen to have the call of a master builder. Right? So that's the reason why I can access what I'm telling you. And the objective God has in mind is to bring you to a certain level in capacity, that even though the devil is not sick, the devil is not dead, but the activity of Satan cannot influence your outcome, because you are rooted so much in that foundation that cannot be moved. And the Bible revealed that if the church of Jesus is built on that foundation, even though the gates of hell will attempt, the gates of hell will not prevail. Hallelujah. All right, so in the book of 1 Peter, we saw it, how that we are lively stones built on this foundation to form a spiritual house. Every stone that will find expression in that eternal building, because that spiritual house eventually is what evolves to become what we call the New Jerusalem. Are you there? When you read your Bible, first read the whole thing first. Don't just read John 3:16 and read myopic reading. Read the entire book first. Because our God is prophetic. What he accomplished in the end is what he set out to accomplish from the beginning. There is no disconnect in accomplishing God's original intention. Are you with me? Or you are not following me? Okay, at least you know this scripture. When Jesus says you are the light of the world. Do you still remember that scripture? That's not the end of that verse. Jesus also said you are a city that is set upon an hill. He said you, seated here, you are. I know you have not heard it, but it's in the Bible. You have not thought about it. You are not just the light of the world, you are also a city. And that city is what is manifested as the New Jerusalem. If we go there, you will see that the description of that city is that it is a bride adorned for her husband. So it's an organic city. It's talking about you. That's your destiny. Every stone which you are that is built in that city is not an ordinary stone. It's a stone that is tried and has brought to the
place of being precious. It is a precious stone. And there are 12 precious stones that were used in that city. It means you are, your kind is one of them. I know somebody saying glory. Before you say glory, hear me. Hear me. Now, is there anyone here that knows about diamond? Okay, you sold a lot of diamonds those days. Do you know how to measure the quality of the diamond? You know all of that? Jesus Christ, that's great. So I'm going to call you, put you on the spotlight in a moment of time. Now, do you know what it takes to produce diamond? Oh, there is a process that it takes to produce diamond. There are 12 such precious stones and you are one of them. The process you are going through now is because God is expecting that you will result in that kind of precious stone. God does not build with blocks. He doesn't build with bricks. He builds with stone. Stones have different sizes. That is descriptive of the fact that your own destiny is unique. Your own challenges are going to be unique. Even if you are born a twin, your parts, you are even two nations in the first place. The fact that you came out of the womb the same time, it doesn't mean that there's anything similar with what you were sent to accomplish in this world. Are you there? So what we are talking about here makes allowance for uniqueness. Makes allowance for uniqueness, not just in shape, not just in refractive index, not just in you are wrong if you try to compare yourself with someone else, because you are unique all by yourself. So there are 12 stones. The first among these stones is jasper. Now, I need to show you something quickly. It's not time. It's not time for us to go into the stones. Because if I describe, if it's true that you allow the Holy Spirit to bridle your life, you'll be able to see characteristics of your life that looks like the stone that God is making. Even though onyx is black, but it glitters, it glows, and it shines. There is a process that God puts it through before it has that black but shining appearance. Sapphire, beryl, diamond, they have their procedures. And that's why the process I'm going through is different from the process you are going to go through in order for you to become God's stone. And if you don't become a precious stone, you will not fit into that house. Are you there? You are not following me. You are not following me. Someone is asking me a question. What of those people that refuse to yield to the Holy Spirit to become the stone before they die? Have you read the book of Malachi chapter? He said, "Behold, I send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom ye seek shall suddenly come into his temple. Even that messenger of the covenant, he shall come, saith the Lord. But who shall abide in the day of his coming? And who shall stand when he appeareth? For he shall be like a refiner's fire." He's speaking about the judgment seat of Christ. Are you with me? That's the platform of accountability for a believer. The judgment seat of Christ. That means if you die with your faith in Christ Jesus, we will meet at the judgment seat of Christ. Jesus is going to evaluate your work. He's going to evaluate your life. And do you know the parameter with which, the reference parameter with which the evaluation will take place? What he created you to be. The processes he created you to pass through in order to become it. How compliant were you? And just in case there's a shortfall, the Bible calls him the refiner's fire and fuller's soap. He will begin a purging exercise in eternity. I can show you from the entire Bible. You know, scripture, preachers no longer reveal the snapshots of the afterlife. It is better for you to yield to the Holy Ghost now and become the product of the Holy Spirit now than for you to wait for that time. I'm not talking about hello. I'm talking about dispensational discipline. Study your Bible and with the objective of knowing what will happen after this life. It is better for you to yield to the Holy Spirit and suffer shame for Jesus now. So what I'm saying is, you cannot escape. In order for you to, and your destiny is to be part of that building. So the quality control test is going to take place at the judgment seat of Christ. And the hope of every mortal is that your quality will be in conformity with the standards of the engineer that says he is building. Did you get that? All right. Before I go into the stones, the 12 stones, that is if the Lord will allow us. I've developed it, but I don't know if he will allow us. Let me show you the processes you will go through in terms of your trials that will make you a precious stone. We saw one in the Bible study on Tuesday or Wednesday. And in the book of Psalms 105 verse 19, that was the scripture that we used to establish the first test. First test, Psalm 105 verse number 19. This was a grand summary of the life of the patriarch Joseph while he was still in the dungeon. And he was in the dungeon on the account of an accusation that was not accurate. And this was the account from the back end. The Bible says, until the time that his word came, the word of the Lord tried him. The prophecy that was spoken over his life became an object of testing. Now, you see, the thing about this presentation, this scripture, is the use of the adjective until. And you will agree with me that that's an adjective of time, until his word came, or until his word manifested. The entire process he went through was a trial because of the prophecy that was spoken over him. Are you there? So this is what we call the test of time because of the use of the adjective what? Until. And we said in the Bible study that some of us are like milk. Milk gets bad with time. Other Christians are like wine. Wine gets better with time. So who are you? Are you? Ask your neighbor. Help me ask your neighbor. Help me preach to your neighbor. Are you milk? Or are you wine? Some divers found a wreckage, and the wreckage took place donkey years ago. And in some of the fossils that they recovered, and some of the things they recovered was 6 bottles of ancient wine. Everything had rusted. The metals were rusted. Everything was bad. But guess what? The wine was better. Do you know how much they sold one bottle? Wine gets better with time. The older, the better. All right? But milk, the moment you open it, make sure you drink all of it. Because you'll not like the way it will even smell in the next morning. Are you there now? Because of the prophetic word that was spoken over the life of this young man, he was already condemned to a process. The process began the day the prophetic word was spoken. The Bible says, until his word came, until his word manifested, everything he went through was that prophetic word trying him. And it tried him through what we call the test of time. So the question is, can you still believe what God has said when time is manipulated like an elastic band? And you see the illusion of time and you run away from the foundation of the word of God that was spoken to you. Now, Satan. You see, most prophetic words are revelation of an end point. You will become the governor of your state. Then they say, amen. You will become the prophetess of Africa. Hallelujah. You will become a business tycoon that will fund kingdom projects. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible is saying that the moment you receive that prophetic word, the engineering of the word put him in a situation. As long as he kept believing that word, he was still part of that process. The day he decides not to believe the word again, he casts it away, his situation will change. That means he has decided to reject what God has spoken to him. But if he wants to see the fulfillment of what God has spoken to him, he will need to stay with that word and to go through a process that was not part of the prophecy. Listen to me. It is only precious stones that will be part of the building. It's either you become precious in time or the refiner's fire will refine you through dispensational discipline, so that you can meet up to building standard before you are part of the New Jerusalem. That new civilization, go read about it. Nothing that makes a lie, nothing of the flesh, nothing of self, nothing of the fall will feature in that new civilization that God is orchestrating through Christ Jesus. The entire building will be as perfect as Christ himself. Just like Christ was tried, Christ was perfected, and he became the sure foundation. Everything that will stand in that new age will have the same dimension of perfection. Everything. So the first test is the test of time. Did you cave in? Did you cave in just because time challenged you? You caved in. And your devotion to God, you left it. You abandoned the prophetic word that was spoken. And you did not know that it was that prophetic word that was responsible for the process that ensued eventually. Until his word came, until his word manifested, the word of the Lord, he did what? He tried him. How many of you can survive the test? Oh, you want greatness? Greatness through Satan is fast. A season of concern in the body of Christ came when breakthrough was taught, when prosperity was taught, and the balance of process did not accompany the teaching. So the average believer now felt it was about making sure that you had human results to present, and that will be a sign of the fact that you have walked with God. Corruption set in, and our God became Mammon. And Mammon possessed the souls of many people and set them on a roller coaster movement in search of what is not lost. That's what happens when preaching is done without balance. Because you see, the Holy Spirit cannot operate outside of the logos of the word of God. Those that know the Bible know what I'm talking about. The Holy Ghost cannot operate outside of the logos of the word of God. Everything that the Holy Spirit does is regulated by the logos. Are you there? You're not following.
have a burden. I have a burden. It's a very strong burden. So when you see people doing extra scriptural things, things that you did not find in the ministry of Jesus, things that you cannot find in the ministry of the apostles, things that you cannot find, all right, even in church history, they evolve stuff. Is it the Bible is a fixed, is a closed book? There is an extent to which you can be creative with the Bible because it is closed. The Bible is a closed book. If you are going to be true to it, you will follow the rules and the principles of interpretation. And if that which you want to emphasize was never rooted in the life and the ministry of Jesus, never rooted in the life and the ministries of the apostles, what you are doing is an introduction. You're introducing something that never existed in the original creed. And because it's not supported by logos, demons will be hanging there to orchestrate performances that will bring lying manifestations so that the souls of men can be snared. And in this day of apostolic recovery, we are going back to the scriptures, because in the scriptures we will find Christ. And anything that is not in Christ, in the eschaton, you will see that that thing was a lie. And so we need to journey carefully as we seek to recover our heritage. And even them that went ahead of us, they suffered diverse pressures, but they could not deny their connection with their Lord. That was the reason why the Bible called them men of whom the world was not worthy. Turn your Bible with me quickly. Let's do the book of Hebrews. Book of Hebrews. Are you still with me? Hebrews chapter 11. I need to show you a few things. Jesus. How did Jesus alter your salvation? You know, the Bible calls him the author. And what? The finisher of our faith. Is that true? He altered your salvation with suffering. That's how he altered it. Think about it. It is because he altered your salvation with suffering. That is why he says that every believer is going to have to bear his own cross. And your cross is at the sacrifices you need to make in your own unique line of serving Jesus. It means that there's a portion of suffering that has been allocated to you because your salvation was altered by suffering. When you hear a preacher say, you will not suffer again forever, that preacher is not a Bible preacher. You don't understand what I'm talking about. He's not a Bible preacher. He's a preacher. There are diverse philosophies that are here and there exist. And it doesn't matter if he wears the cloak of a bishop. He has strayed beyond the spirit of the Bible. The witness he's bringing is going to cause catastrophe with your soul. And it will deal with the issue of your loyalty to Jesus, which is fundamental in this, your journey. A time came, what Christianity became about is what you can get, what you can show people. Okay, I just got two cars packed in my vault. Hallelujah. We became confused people looking for what is not lost. Because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. And seek also to be right with the laws that governs that kingdom. And the things that the Gentiles seek will be added unto you. There is a life Jesus is calling us to live. Jesus is saying, if you give yourself completely to my cause, give yourself completely to following me, I will cause the things that the Gentiles seek to navigate in your direction. If there is anything called the gospel of prosperity, that is it. That is it. We'll become more resourceful in terms of grace, in terms of financial capacity, in terms of material capacity. We'll become more resourceful when we register faithfulness to the cost of the kingdom of God. Any other way you stumble on wealth, mammon will possess your soul. Since it is not used to adorn the glory of Jesus in his kingdom, that same wealth will be the snare over your soul that will turn you aside to many stripes. For the Bible says that the servant that knoweth his master's will, neither did he according to the will of his master, shall be beaten with many stripes. See, forget about this false preacher. So be serious with your walk with God. There are many entertainers that don't even know the scriptures and don't know that the Holy Ghost will not operate outside of the Logos. People are looking for ways outside of scriptures to justify their error and their life of sin. God has said we should cry. We should cry to the body that we are at risk, we are endangered. We are beginning to embrace the same things that make God destroy nations like Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you like milk? Are you like wine? Jesus said, when the Son of Man shall come, shall he find faith? Shall he find people that tarried and believed him to the end, that did not compromise because of pressure? Shall he find faith in the earth? In the hollow of his hand, I have seen whatever may betide me in the hollow of his hand. In the hollow of his hand. Of his hands. I have seen whatever may betide me in the hollow of his hand. In the hollow, in the hollow. Of his head in the hollow of his head. I have said whatever may be time. I saw me na habe like a belly. Sivo valiko peskufi lama. In the hollow, in the hollow of his hands. In the hollow, of his hands. I have seen whatever. In the hollow, in the hollow. Can you sing one more time? In the hollow of his hand.
We are going to pray some prayers.